cover Karak Chav Mayz and Chav Gimel. Maybe a little bit ambitious of us, but you know, the Perek Chav Mayz and Perek Chav Gimel of Sefer Shmuel are different from most of the Sefer. We're no longer in narrative sections. We'll have narrative come again at the end, Perek Chav Dalet, which we'll need to spend a little bit more time on. But the two prakim here, Perek Chav Mayz is a very, very, very long song from David. It's 1 second long. Then Perek Chav Gimel, half of it is another song from David, which is eight psukim long. And then there's a whole long list of David's lead warriors and some of the adventures, I guess you could say that they have. So we're not going to do like a pasuk by pasuk read. Instead, we're going to look for more of a 50,000 foot view and try to identify some of the major themes that are happening here and put this in context of some of the things we've been learning really since the very, very beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Load up a screen share. I think I actually titled this year. Let's see. Yeah, right. Looking back, as we're going to see, this is all, there's a lot of reflection on the beginning of David's career. So the first of the two songs, and I'm just going to scroll down for a second, actually, because you see here that the song begins, Vaydaber David LaShem Esdaber Shira Azot. So Hashem, David spoke these words. I'm going to scroll down to Perek Chav Gimel, because Rashi has an important comment to really set the scene for both of these. Perek Chav Gimel, with David's second song, begins, Ve'ela Divrei David HaAcharonim, right? David's last words. And Rashi writes that these two songs were both full-fledged nivuah, right? Rashi writes, Nivuat David HaAcharonim, Miyam Rishonim, Divrei Hashir Amurim L'mala. So Perek Chav Beis is the earlier song. Perek Chav Gimel is the later song. And then Rashi says, this is in contrast to Kol Shirot Tishbachot She'amar, all the other songs that David has, in Nikra Im Dvarim. Those are not called words. Think, what is Rashi getting at over here? David has many, many things which he said in Ruach HaKodesh. In fact, David references it in Perek Chav Gimel, when David introduces his Nevuah over there. He says, Ne'um David Ben Yishai, Ne'um HaGever. It's interesting, right? David almost, he sounds like he's beginning his Nevuah like Bilam, which is interesting because Rashi and most of them are Farshim understand that much of Bilam's last Nevuah anticipated David. But David begins this Nevuah by saying, that this is the famous line, right? David, the sweet singer of Israel. So Rashi says all those mirot, all those tehillim, are not in the Nevi'im. They are in the Ksuvim. They're all written Beruach HaKodesh. However, there seems to be a higher level, a level of full-fledged Nevuah for the song of Perek Chav Gimel and earlier the song of Perek Chav Beis. That's what Rashi seems to say there at the beginning of the next parak. So we'll scroll back up and we're going to see these two songs really are closely related. So you see how long the first song is, and it goes on for like 51 psukim. What I did here was I divided it according to the division of the dot mikra, just to show the basic sequence of the song. And then we'll focus on one part of the song and a message from the overall structure. So the way the dot mikra understands it is, really, you can divide, well, one thing is clear, that the song clearly is divided into at least two parts. So then we can subdivide. The song begins with Hashem, with David talking about Hashem saving him. Hashem sal'i mitzudasi mefalti li, right? My rock, my fortress, my refuge, Elokei tzuri, right? Many, many ecstatic expressions of love. And it's very powerful when David can say it again and again and again. So that's just, you know, the opening piece. And then David talks about the crises that he faced. Afafuni mishpre mavet, right? I was surrounded by the waves of death. Nachle bliyali vatuni. It's like the wild rivers came out to drown me. Chavle sha'ol sabuni, even the underworld came to get me. So David is, you know, surrounded by death. What's his response? Batsar li ekra Hashem. In my crisis, I called out to Hashem. And then what happens? So David says, Hashem says, Vayishma mehechalo koli v'shavati ba'aznav. Right? Hashem hears me from his heichal. That's an important line, because what is the heichal that David is referring to? He's referring to Hashem's heichal in Shamayim, right? This goes back to the old debate with Eli and his whole family. David understands full well that the, you know, Hashem, you do not need the physical presence in order for Hashem to answer its tefillot. He realizes that, you know, Hashem, on a physical plane, as it were, Hashem is infinitely remote, but that does not matter at all. You know, David is passionate about building a Beis HaMikdash, but he also realizes how absurd that is in a certain sense, because Hashem already has a Heichal. It's not the Heichal that Shlomo is going to build in Yerushalayim. It is Heichalo in Shamayim. Be that as it may, it doesn't matter how far Hashem is, Hashem can always hear David's tefillah. And something that gets to the third part of the song, where David in many psukim describes the immense power and awe of the revelation of Hashem as Hashem comes forward to answer David's tefillah, coming from Shemayim, as it were, right? So, Vatir Asha Aretz, you know, the earth shakes, Mostot HaShemayim Yergazu, even the heavens shake. Many psukim along these lines, you know, just parenthetically, this description David has of Hashem's revelation raises a problem, because we see this all the time. You know, Devora describes Hashem's revelation this way. David, many, many examples we could come up with where Hashem's revelation is described in terms of immense awe and power and noise and terror, etc. So the question that raises for this week's Haftorah, you know, we're not reading it. Nar Tzitzral, they read it last week, but the Haftorah with Eliyahu, right, where Eliyahu is at Har Sinai and he hears the thunder and the wind and all the drama, and you know, Hashem tells him that, you know, lo b'kol, Hashem is not found in the rash or in the voice, but Hashem is found in the kol d'mamad daka. So that raises the problem. What do we mean Hashem is not found in all the thunder? That's exactly the way the Nevi'im are describing Hashem's revelation over here. So, you know, that's a question we get to say for Malachim. But for now, a classic description of Hashem is just all-powerful awe. And then what happens? Once Hashem comes down from Shemayim, Yishlach mimarom yikachini, Hashem sent down from all the way on high, and he was able to take me out. Yamsheni mi mayim rabin. He's able to take me out from many waters. Yatsileni mayavi. Right, so he saves me from my enemies. They were stronger than me. Kiyam tu mi many, but it doesn't matter. They're stronger than me because the Rebbeinu Shalom can save me. Okay, right, and that's piece number four. So you know, we really put this all together. The truth is, this is all, they could break it up into different sections, but it's all one core unit. David is in crisis. David davens. Hashem reveals himself, and Hashem saves David HaMelech. Now, the truth is, we don't really find any, to my knowledge, any case in Sefer Shmuel where Hashem openly revealed himself in such a way to David HaMelech, right? Well, David didn't have nevuah like that. There's a bitachon happening over here. David is realizing, you know, the times that he was saved, he realizes what was really happening behind the scenes, as it were. You know, he's prophetically realizing the hashgacha that was happening. You know, David uses, and that Mikra points this out, David uses lines that sound like the Az Yashir song. You know, even when he's talking about being saved from the waves, etc. But it's without the open, you know, Yad Raman. The miracles are not the same open power, but it's part of the theme of Sefer Shmuel as we transition to the world of Malchus, is to realize that Hashem's power is not diminished at all just because the way it manifests itself on earth is not the same as things have been before. B'nai Yisrael are signing up for the natural route, they're signing up for the Malchus route, but David HaMelech is still telling them it really, really still is the same Hashkacha if you can just scratch a little bit underneath the surface. In fact, Rashi here quoted going with the Targum Yonasan thinks that a number of these psukim are actually referring to Hashem saving B'nai Yisrael from the Yamsuf and from Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's all one big unit. David's in crisis, David davens, Hashem reveals himself, and Hashem saves David HaMelech. We then have a very surprising piece, which we'll need to explain.
And already it begins with Parakaf Aleph. I'm just going to scroll down for a second where I put in just so we could have it more zoomed out, because it's, you see it with the translation. It's like, wow, this is kind of gold. What does David all of a sudden say? Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzid Kasi. Hashem rewarded me in parallel to my righteousness. Kavor Yadai Yashivli. Right? I was clean with my hands, and so Hashem responded in kind.
And that's clearly a key line in the song, because it is the only line in the song that David repeats twice. You skip down to Pasuk Chafei, and Hashem and David basically says the same thing. Vayashav Hashem li kitzid kasi, kivori lenegadeinav.
I was a tzaddik, I was kavor, I was righteous, I was clean. And so everything Hashem is doing for me is happening in parallel to my own righteousness. And just take a look at the Pesukim. Shamarti darchei Hashem, right? I follow Hashem's ways. Kol mishpatav le'negdi v'chukosav lo asur mimena. I followed all the mitzvos. Ayatamim lo. I was perfect towards Hashem. Vashtam rame avoni. And I guarded myself from sin, right? And David, zooms out a little bit for a second to talk about Hashem's general justice. Im chasid tis chasad. Im gibor tamim titamam. Right? David, Hashem is a chasid to the chasid. Right, he is tamim to the, he is tam to the tamim, navar titavar, he's pure to the pure. The Targum and Rashi suggest that there's a reference here to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the chesed of Avraham, the gvura of Yitzchak, and the purity of Yaakov Avinu, in contrast to Imikesh, the tapapal, right? Then David goes back to himself. So like, this is a little bit, so it's a little bit strange. It's strange on two levels. First of all, it's a little bit weird for David to be describing himself this way. And second of all, it doesn't really fit with the beginning of the song. The beginning of the song was talking about Hashem's chesed and Hashem answering David's tefillah and Hashem's rachamim. Now all of a sudden, David sounds like he's deserving. So that's something that we need to explain. So let's finish the survey of the song and then we'll get into some of the suggestions to explain what's happening here. The part six, right? So now the song shifts to Hashem saving David in war. Milamai Yadai Lemelchama, you taught me how to fight, you taught me how to bend a metal bow. Ardefa Ayavai, you can see, right? I'm chasing my enemies. Ashmi Deim, I destroyed my enemies. Lo Ashubak Kalasam, I didn't turn back until they were destroyed. Remember when Shaul fights, has his victory against the Plishtim. So Shaul won his battle, but he was not able to fulfill Lo Ashub Akalosam. Shaul's army turned around before they finished it off. But David's able to finish the job. And then David describes in like graphic terms, Achaleim, Achmatzim, I really crushed them. Lo Yukumun, they're never going to get up. Yivlu Tachas Raglai. My enemies turned their back to me. Ayvai Tatali Oref. Yeshu, Aim Mashiach, they wanted a savior. No one saved them. This is interesting. El Hashem Lo Anam. My enemies turned to Hashem, but Hashem didn't answer them. I wonder who the enemies that David has who turned to Hashem, but Hashem doesn't answer. Eshchakim ka'afar aretz, and I crushed them like dirt and like plaster. So that's pretty strong. And then David describes being established as an emperor. B'nei nechar yikashuli. Foreigners are bound down to me. He says, Hashem yimimi the rosh gayim. Am lo yadati yavduni. Nations I never knew before are serving me. So David is this multinational emperor. And then David wraps up with describing Hashem's redemption. Akel hanosin nekamos li, marid amim kachtini. And then finally, the general praise. Odecha Hashem bagim l'shecha azamer. And then the final famous pasuk, migdol or magdil. It's a Korean ksiv. Yeshuot malkobo sachasadim shi. Oh, so he redeems his king, he does kindness to his anointed. And who is that? The David Uzaro Adolam. That's all building up to David Hamel. Okay. So again, we're not going to get into like the pasuk by pasuk details here. We can note though, and all the modern Mepharshim point this out, is that the song can really be broken up into two basic pieces. There's a question to ask, is it being broken up into two pieces or is it being broken up into three? The first chunk, until the line over here, the first 20 psukim, all, there's no reference in here to David as a king.
It's all David as like a private citizen, as it were. And it's interesting to note that Bnei Yisrael don't figure in here at all. The whole song is just that it's an intimate relationship between David HaMelech and Ribono Shel Olam. Right? The people don't really figure in at all. But the first part of the song has no reference to the kingship. And they explain, if you go back to the first pasuk, the song begins by Daber David Hashem es Direi Hashira Azot, B'yom Hitzil Hashem Oso Mikaf Kol Ayev Vav, when Hashem would save him from all his enemies, Umikaf Sha'ul, and when Hashem would save David from Sha'ul. So the first half of the song seems to completely reference David's experience being saved from Sha'ul. The days when David was not a king, when David was a fugitive on the run, those were the days when David was outnumbered. He was either by himself or he was with a few hundred men, and he's escaping death at every turn. So that first half of the song, when David is being saved by Hashem from Sha'ul, that is when David is almost being killed, and he's davening, and Hashem is saving David time after time from Sha'ul HaMelech. There's an interesting debate, by the way, between Rashi and Abarbanel, why Sha'ul is mentioned separately from the rest of the enemies. Rashi says that it's written separately because Sha'ul was the bitterest enemy that David had. And so Rashi gives a number of different examples where Tanakh, Chumash, or the Nevi'im Ksuvim, will give a all-inclusive statement and then one particular detail. So I'll scroll down for a second to where Rashi commented. Did I put this in here? Yeah, I think I did. All right, so Yeshua tells the spies, Ru'u es ha'aretz ve'es Yericho. All right, go see the whole land, but particularly you should see Yericho. Shlomo marries many foreign women, ve'es bas paro. But the particular problematic wife that Shlomo marries is the daughter of Paro. So Rashi says that's what's happening here with Sha'ul. We're identifying him because he was the most problematic enemy. Abarbanel has the opposite suggestion. Abarbanel says that no, David singles Sha'ul out because he does not want to refer to Sha'ul as an oyev. You know, all my enemies chased me and Sha'ul chased me, but Sha'ul's not my enemy. And Abarbanel says, hey, what does Torah tell us? Lo sisnas achicha b'levavcha. You can't despise your brother. And despite everything that Sha'ul does to David, he still is achicha. I mean, David calls Sha'ul avi. He calls him my father one of the times that he's chasing after him. So that's an interesting machlokas Rashi Barbanel. How is David, you know, at the end of his life? Let's assume, how is he exactly looking back at Sha'ul? You know, the way we're suggesting now, there's a third reason for David to single out Sha'ul, and that is because the two parts of the song, one is talking about Kaf Sha'ul, that's what's happening over here, and then the second part of the song is talking about Mikaf Kol Oyeva, right? Because while in the first half, David, he's not a king, and he's not conquering anybody, and Hashem is saving him from those who are more powerful than he is. So you get to Pasuk, Lamed Gimel, and this part of the song all of a sudden, we do not have here any references to David being weak, to David being in danger, to David being in crisis or overwhelmed. Rather, David is conquering and conquering and conquering, and Hashem is helping David conquer his enemies and set up this vast empire over all of these different nations. So it seems like it's at least two songs that are folded into one. The reason why I say at least two is because the question is, what to do with this piece that is smack dab in the middle? What do we do with these, 12 psukim, where David is singing about how Hashem saved him because he is righteous? So bring an explanation from Amos Chacham in the Tehillim. Dot Mikra, because Tehillim Yodches is basically a facsimile of this parak over here. There are a bunch of minor differences, which the Maseches Sofrim in the back of the Gemara Avodah Zarah, you can find it, goes through a bunch of the differences. Abarbanel and the Malbim go through the differences, but it's basically the same song. We'll talk about those differences in a couple of minutes,
and Abarbanel's theory for where they come from. But Amos Chacham in the Tilm Bat Mikra,
so he has, I think, a very, very compelling suggestion. Why is it that here David has to talk about that Hashem is helping because I'm so righteous? He says it's not that David is bragging, but rather David has to emphasize that if you are going to become the king, that comes with responsibilities. Right? It's not just that Hashem is being nice to me, that Hashem is just answering my tefillah. If you want to be king, you need more than rachamim, you need more than tefillah. Being the melech comes with responsibility. So David is not like all of these Middle Eastern ancient kings at the time who said, every king is getting up and saying, the God was with me, the God was with me, the God was with me. That's standard fare. There's no chiddush involved in a king getting up. You know, the person is successful and he says, the God was with me. That's normal. David's contribution here is to say, no, the reason God was with me was not because he chose me for some unknown reason. It's not because he likes me more than anyone else. It's not because I'm more special. I'm more chosen for whatever reason. I am the melech ki shamarti darchei Hashem. If you want the rights and responsibilities and privileges of kingship, you need to follow the way of Hashem. That's the suggestion he makes. And I think it makes a lot of sense. We could take it, though, one step further. How do these 12 psukim fit into the broader framework of the psalm? So one way of understanding it is that it's like a hinge. This is the central piece, and it applies both to the earlier part and to the later part. You know, Hashem saved me from Sha'ul because I followed the mitzvos, and Hashem saved me in war when I was king because I followed the mitzvos.
But another way to look at the song is to really make a hard break after Pasuk Chaf. And to say, you know, we have really structurally Hashem's salvation each time. Hashem saves David over here, and Hashem saves David over here. Each time the salvation is preceded by the explanation for the cause of the salvation. And when David was a private citizen, in theory he was a king, but de facto he was a private citizen, even though Shmuel had anointed him.
But when he is a private citizen on the run from Shmuel, so at that time, in order for Hashem to answer David, all we need is David's tefillah, right? But Sarli Akra al Hashem Elokai Akra v'Yishma Mehichalas. Anybody who's in crisis can dive into Hashem and can hope that Hashem is going to have racha. Right? If we fold in, you know, Amos Chacham's suggestion, so we can say, yeah, the first half of the song, David precedes. The cause for the salvation was I dive into Hashem. Then Hashem has rachamim and Hashem saves me. Then we get to part two of the song, just this part, right? Don't say that this is connected in both directions. It's just part two of the song. What is the cause for Hashem holding me up as a melech? By now, it is not enough for me to just daven. If you want Hashem to help you as the melech, now already there's going to be an element of din involved. You're not going to get any more freebies, and you need to be completely in on Shmirat HaMitzvah. Right? And if that happens, then it's still chesed, it's still rachamim. David is still overcome with gratitude. I mean, he literally says, right, im chasid tis chasad, right? He says, Hashem is doing chesed with me. But it's fair. You do chesed to others, Hashem will do chesed to you, right? If you go lefnim mishuras hadin, Hashem will go lefnim mishuras hadin. So it's not just like a pure quid pro quo. David, if you read it carefully, is not saying, I deserve this. But what David is saying is once you're at the level of the melech, you need to keep up your side of the bargain in order for Hashem to keep up his side of the bargain. As we're going to see, that's going to be David's core message in the next Nevuah in Perek Chaf Gimel. So just want to tease out two more thoughts from the first song over here before moving quickly to Perek Chaf Gimel. When did David write this song? So once again, Rashi and the Abarbanel have a machlokes, and if we think about it, there's a very interesting question that comes out of this. So Rashi says, well, let's go. The song David says, I sang this Biyom Hitzil Hashem Osaf.
Right, let's find it. Scroll up for a second. Biyom Hitzil Hashem Osaf Mikaf Balilav Mikaf Shaul.
So the song, David spoke the song on the day Hashem saved him from all his enemies and from Shaul. The obvious problem is that we cannot identify a day. You know, it was not July 20th that Hashem saved him from all his enemies and from Shaul. Right? That was like David's whole career was being saved from his enemies and being saved from Shaul. So Rashi writes that David writes this song towards the end of his life, after he has won all his victories. After he's been saved, he had Shaul, and he had the Plishtim, and he had the enemy kings, and probably even Avshalom and Sheba ben Bichri. Finally, David can put down the sword, and he stops fighting. Now, he writes this song almost at the end of his life. Abarbanel, though, has a different position. Let's go see what he says inside. Abarbanel suggests, he says, David Chabra b'bachru tab. He says that David originally wrote this song when he was young. Bioso bisoch sarosa, when he was in the middle of all of his crises. And one of the times that David is saved, he writes this song. And then And then every single time, there's another victory against the Plishtim, I sing the song again. You know, we're saved from Moab, we're saved from Shaul, I'm saved from Avshalom. David, who his whole life, right, the chesed is unbelievable. Hashem is saving him again and again. So the Abarbanel suggests that David wrote this song in his youth, and he keeps on coming back to it as Hashem saves him again and again. He says, it was Shigura b'fiv. It was fluent in his mouth, he says it so many times. His whole life, David is singing the song. Every single time, there's like yet another chesed. So the Abarbanel reads the pasuk as saying that David is singing this song as Hashem is saving him from every tzara. Every time it happens, he's singing it again. If that's the case, by the way, then it follows to reason that David added to the song over time. Maybe the first half of the song David wrote in the Shaul days, and the second half of the song David writes in the Melech days. Abarbanel and literally the Malbim get into this and suggest that this can explain some of the discrepancies between the song in Sefer Tehillim and the song in Sefer Shmuel. Because the Malbim says, yeah, what happened was David wrote the song when he was young, and then when he's old and he's gathering his like collected works, his collected essays to insert into Sefer Tehillim, so he puts some changes and modifications and tweaks into the song for it to be inserted into Sefer Tehillim. That's like the suggestion the Malbim makes over here at the beginning of the song. Okay. But one interesting question to think about, whether this song was written at the end of David's life or was written at the beginning of David's life, is all of these lines about David's righteousness, right? When David says, Shamarti Darchei Hashem, Kol Mishpatav L'Negdi, Ayatamim Lo, Eshtam Rame Aboni, I kept myself from sin, I was pure, I kept the Torah. Does David write this before or after the story of Uriah and Bathsheba? Right? According to the Abarbanel, David writes this before Uriah and Bathsheba. That would kind of work out for the Abarbanel's own view that David really sinned. Although the Abarbanel still thinks that David kept on coming back to this later on. But Rashi thinks that David sits down with Nevuah, by the way, with full prophecy, and he writes this song after the sin of Uriah and after the sin of Bathsheba. If that's the case, then this song really would be a testimony to the fullness of the tshuva and the fullness of the kapara that David goes through. Right? He sins, but he does tshuva, and he suffers terribly, as we explored over the last few prakim. And once David exits that whole purification process, he is indeed able to say, and there was a time that I slipped up and I made a mistake, but I did tshuva and I paid for it. And right, you can go back. You can repair what was broken. So that question kind of revolves around this debate here between Abarbanel and Rashi. Even in the Dot Mikra, like the Tehillim Dat Mikra kind of prefers the Rashi approach. This is written at the end, and the Shmuel Dat Mikra prefers the Abarbanel approach that was written earlier on.
Okay, interesting thing to think about. But there's one more piece I want to take out of the song, which the Shmuel Dat Mikra quotes an article, which I was able to find by Yotzer HaChma, right? From what was his name? I think Moshe Tzeidel, who was like a major Talmud of Rav Kook, and really like one of the founders of the whole modern Parshanut HaMikra movement. So he has an article about Tfilat Chana and the impact of Tfilat Chana throughout Tanakh. And he points out that virtually every line, Tfilat Chana was much shorter. It was only 10 psukim long. That virtually every line in Chana's tefillah is echoed by another line in David's tefillah. And that's very important for us, because one of the arguments that we made from the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel was that Chana, when she has her song at the beginning of the Sefer, it's not just a one-off song, but that her song sets up the basic hashkafa for all of Sefer Shmuel, right? And the two main points that she makes are that Hashem is all-powerful, and that Hashem's hashkafa is real, right? And as we've seen, you can basically categorize almost every major personality in Sefer Shmuel on whether they're able to absorb what Chana's message is or not. Can they truly absorb that Hashem is HaKol Yachol, or can they not? So if that's the case, right, that really Tfilas Chana sets up the whole hashkafa for Sefer Shmuel. And yeah, we have the kings and the politics and the wars and the intrigues. But at the end of the day, do you realize that Hashem is the one who is ultimately running the show, right? And that's exactly what David was saying in this song, where, you know, everyone else sees Yoav and Avishai and armies, but he sees the Yad Hashem, just like it was there at the Yamsuf. Well, what a beautiful way to basically end Sefer Shmuel with David going back to echo all the themes of the song of Chana, right? And the most dramatic one is going to be at the end. But I mean, just look, Pasuk Aleph in Chana, right? Rama Karni Bashem, and then David talks about Karen Yeshi, right? Karen Yeshi, Sarathi Bishua Secha, Rachav Pi Alai Vai, Chana saying, and then David says, Motzi Me Ai Vai, right? Chana says, nobody's like Hashem, in Kadosh Hashem, Vein Biltacha, Vein Surah Kalukenu. That was the critical pasuk. There's nobody like Hashem. Dabba says the same thing. Mikael, Biladei Hashem, Umit Surah Veladei Elokenu. It's basically the same thing. No one's like Hashem, no one is like Surah Elokenu. Right? David is repeating all that. The description of bows and arrows, the description of Hashem giving strength to those who stumble, picking up the poor, lowering the haughty ones. Right? Chana saying, Mashpil af miromein, right? You lower the ones who hold themselves up. And David says the same thing. Beinecha al ramim tashpil, you lower those who raise themselves. David Chana talked about mekim me'afar dal me'ashpot yirim evyon, right? Helping the poor, the people who are sitting in the garbage heap. And then David says the same thing. Is amani toshia pasuk ches pasuk tes. Does Hashem protect his chasidim? That is what Chana is saying about. And then David echoes that as well, right? Darkening for the Rishayim, echoed in the David, one of the key lines of Chana, lo b'kach yigbar ish. Right? It's not through strength that a man can, the man will overcome. And then David says openly, right? Hashem saved me from enemies, ki amtsu mimeni. Right? They were stronger than me, but it doesn't matter because Hashem is there to save me. Chana talks about Hashem storming from Shemayim, and b'shamayim yar'im. And David repeats that as well, the image of Yar'im in Shemayim Hashem, of Hashem storming from Shemayim. But the most powerful one, right? So after basically all of Shira, of Chana's Shira, echoing the two points about Hashem's power and Hashem's Hashkacha being echoed in all of David's song. So, I mean, the dramatic one is the very end. Because Chana ends the song, Yitain Oz L'malko, V'yarein Karen Meshicho, right, giving strength to his king and holding and raising up the horn of his anointed, which many of the Mefarshim referenced actually both Shaul and David, but certainly references David. And how does David end his song? Magdil Yeshuot Malko. So we have Malko and Malko.
Chesed Limshicho, Chesed for the Mashiach, for the anointed. But then how does David end the song? Who is the Mashiach Hashem? Le David Ulzaro ad Olam. So the prophecy that Hannah has at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, David comes at the end of Sefer Shmuel, and he can turn that prophecy into a retrospective. Right? He can say everything that Hannah anticipated in the beginning of the Sefer. Look back at my career and you can see how it happened. And now it is going to happen still going forward, because the last line and the most obviously prophetic line of Chana's Tefillah, but what Hashem is going to do for his anointed, that is going to happen for me and for my Zera ad Olam. That's also the most explicitly prophetic line of David's Tefillah. And how does David know that Hashem is going to protect his, is going to hold up his seed for all time? Because this is also Nevuah, right? And I call it, you can get a sense of how much of Chana's song is echoed, right? It's such a short song. All the red are all lines which are echoed in David's Tefillah. So just to spend a few minutes over here in Perek Chaf Gimel. So David's second song, Ela Divrei David HaAchronim. So Rashi explains that the previous song, you know, David wrote like towards the end of his life. Now this one is really, really at the end. And here David really has just one basic point to make. And it just goes back exactly to that suggestion that Amos Chacham was making about why David emphasized his righteousness as a reason for Hashem to protect him. Ruach Hashem diber biyomi lasawa lashoni. Right, this is coming directly from Hashem. Rashi again describes this as a nevuah. But the key is really pasuk gimel. Amar Elokei Yisrael li diber tzur Yisrael. Moshel ba'adam tzadik, Moshel yiras Elokim. The Moshel has to be a tzaddik, and the Moshel has to be somebody who fears God. Right? Those are the obligations of the ruler. Writes the Radak. Says, what does this mean? He says, Shmuel Hanabi told me. Shmuel Hanabi told me that I will be Moshel Ba'adam. I'm going to be a ruler. I'm going to be anointed as a king. Shatiya memshalti birat elokim ve'ya tzaddik. Right? So it's going to me. My opening mission statement from Shmuel was, I'm being anointed as king, but that comes with the responsibility of being the tzaddik and being the Yiras Elokim. Right? And then in parallel, David says, and what's the answer to that? So the David's bias, David's house for all time has a Bris Olam. If you follow the Bris, then you have the Bris Olam, right? And David describes his bias. He compares it to a young, soft, pure grass, which can just grow and grow and grow. Then at the end, David has two interesting psukim. After comparing his own house, he has a bris of Hashem, but it's contingent upon being a tzaddik and a yiras elokim. So he says, "Well, what about the other people? Ubliyah," which that's a word we've seen so many times, right? That's the antithesis of the Ashkafa of Chana, the person who throws off the yoke. So what is he like? Kikots munag kulaham. Right? So they're like thorns, and they can't be touched with the hand, right? They're sharp. You have the contrast between David, who's like soft grass, and these wicked people who are like thorns. Now, why the emphasis on kilobi yagi kaku? Thorns can't be taken by the hand. What exactly is the point? So David says, what do you have to do with thorns? Vishi gabahem. So how do you touch a thorn? You have to have iron, you have to have armor to protect you. You have to have a spear so that you're not getting your hands on dirty. You're just getting rid of it through a distance. And just fire, just burn them. What is David getting at over here? Why is he describing this contrast to his own bias? So one way to think of this, some of the early Mefarshim actually suggested this reference here to people from David's own house. David's own house can be thought of as a plant. Some of the shoots are very tender and soft, but some of the shoots may shoot out thorns. Now this can go back to the debate between David and Yoab. What do you do when you have an Avshalom? Right? What David tried to do with Avshalom was exactly what he says here he shouldn't have done. B'yad yikachu, right? He tried to be soft on Avshalom. But the message, and now at the end of his life, I think one way of understanding this, the end of his life, David realizes that one of, being the melech, being the king, has two responsibilities. One responsibility is you need to be a tzaddik, you need to be a yiras elokim. There are personal obligations that are placed upon your own conduct, and that's just absolutely non-negotiable. But also part of being the king is you cannot have any patience, you cannot have any softness for the kotzin. And it may not come naturally to somebody like David HaMelech, but he's learned bitterly from experience that Yoav actually was correct. That when you have these people, as unnatural as it may be for the soft grass to all of a sudden pick up armor and spears and fire, that is a responsibility of the Melech. You can't have any patience for evil. If you do, ultimately, that's just cruelty in the long run. And that's one way of thinking about the closing part of David's tefillah. As he's realizing is that, you know, his whole kingship, the tzaddik part, David really could get down. But it's the part about picking up the barzel and the hesh and the chanis against the thorns. That's something that comes less naturally to David, but it's something that he's acknowledged from experience is really part of the role that being king requires. So the last few prickles of Parakhav Gimel, you know, it's interesting stuff to talk about, but we're not really going to get into it so much. The Navi just goes through like all David's 30, a whole bunch of David's heroes and helpers. But half of them are from Shevet Yehuda. It's interesting, Yoav is not mentioned in this whole group. I think probably just because Yoav is like just above this whole group. You have David's whole staff, you know, the joint chiefs of staff, but like Yoav is like the number two guy. But one thing we can note from all these stories, you know, there are stories about one person who's fighting 800 men. Then there's Elazar ben Dodo who's fight all these like amazing fights against the Plishtim. And it just makes us appreciate, if we think back to earlier in the Sefer, the degree to which the Navi, remember the Navi, like in that one parak in a few psukim and parak ches, made it seem like it was such smooth sailing for David. You know, it was like in one instant he goes from just being a local king to being like world emperor. And we argued at the time that the Navi was trying to like make it seem easy because it wanted to show dramatically the degree of hashkacha which David is enjoying for Ribono Shel Olam. But as we see more and more, you know, we reflected on some of the pieces of Yoav against Edom, and there's a pasuk in Malachim. Now we have some psukim here towards the end of Shmuel Beis. We realize it was a long struggle. There were many, many battles against the Plishtim, many difficulties, many setbacks. You know, there's no place here where the Plishtim are encamped in Emek Rifaim, right on the heart of Yehuda. David is hiding on the cave in Adulam. There's one time where David is hiding while the Plishtim are in Beis Lechem. Beis Lechem, that's in the heart of Yehuda. That's in David's hometown. Right? Realize that the degree to which the Plishtim had so thoroughly overrun much of the country, and David slowly, painstakingly has to dig out from that. But that wasn't the image. Navi wanted to give us a foreign, you know, Navi wanted to have an image of ultimately how much Hashem was on David's side. The last pasuk in the thing, learn about so many of the men over here. The very last pasuk is just a bit of a surprise for us. All these men, da 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 da. And the last one we have is Uriah Hachiti. You gotta wonder, it must be intentional that the Navi puts Uriah Hachiti as the last of David's great generals. Right? The Navi knows like that name is gonna jump out. You know? It's clear from this pasuk, and it wasn't made explicit or at the time. We have to reference this pasuk that Uriah really was one of David's leading generals. It was not a random thing. It was not strange for Uriah to get a message from David bringing him back from the battle to have a discussion. He was a major member of the army. And it also suggests that the Navi puts Uriah very prominently here because we should like know, you know, after all those songs about David's righteousness and his greatness and the tzidkus, they'd be like, what, did we forget about Uriah? Like, was that a dream? Did that not happen? No, right? We do know about Uriah. Not only do we know about Uriah, we're going to put Uriah in a very prominent location at the end of Parakhav Gimel, the last of the great generals of David. It is despite the fact that that we know about Uriah and everything that happened with David, that we still can take a look back at the end of David's career and describe David with the same reverence and the same respect that we had before the whole thing happened. Okay, so we'll stop here. It was a lot, but hopefully that was good. And so next week we'll pick up with Parakhav Dalid, which we'll try to learn all in one shot. It may take us 2 shiurim into the Parakhav Dalid because there's a lot going on, but we'll see if we can do it in one. Yashkach, everybody. Sorry for the technical difficulties at the beginning.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.